We have issues, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to talk.
We need to talk.
Elliot Smith joining us in the studio. Graham Sports Freak Beasley is online from Wellington, runs the Sports Freak site. Graham.
Good morning, how are we?
Before we talk anything else, the Rugby World Cup hasn't started. Let me remind you.
I thought Sam did a fantastic job on TV One News last night to talk about absolutely nothing for 5 minutes and still make it seem almost interesting.
Well, listen, how many more stories can we do?
How many walkabouts are they going to do? I mean, they're kind of like the royal family, aren't they?
It's just, you know, you just sit there, though, and you think, I mean, we've squeezed the sponge dry here in New Zealand, haven't we? And then it's just more preview stories and more preview.
And we've got 7 more days of squeezing the sponge, too, haven't we?
Remember how they used to organise this World Cup, too, up the Northern Hemisphere? And in 1999 was the worst example, where they would just basically have one weekend of games, and then you'd wait a week.
Yeah.
They'd have nothing during the week, and they hadn't kind of figured out that actually people get really bored just waiting around. Elliot, you know, give me a preview story of the World Cup.
I think the All Blacks went to Twickenham or around about Twickenham today.
Oh, they went by Twickenham?
I think so.
Okay, well, that'll be covered extensively, won't it?
Oh, I would have thought so. This has been... They should have just arrived on Thursday, flown in for the game.
I'll tell you what, though, Graham, when they're training, it's down to business.
Yeah, when does that start?
I don't know, Elliot.
I think that's tomorrow night, New Zealand time.
They get down to business?
Yeah.
And compete for places?
Yeah, even though Steve Hansen knows the team in his head.
How much longer do we have to wait?
About 5 days.
Along the black... sort of sight screen things with them to hang up around training so no one can see what they're doing.
Yeah, they would be doing that. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it's even got to the stage where I think the Poms are so bored with rolling out all of those haka stories and that they're not even rolling them out anymore, are they?
Nah.
I almost felt sorry for Stuart Broad being sent along to that yesterday. Almost.
Did you know the Australians and the English are still playing cricket, Graham? I didn't know that.
They never stop, do they? This has to be about the longest tour ever, wouldn't it?
Well, this is the touring equivalent of that West Indies One Day World Cup, which they're still trying to figure out how to end, isn't it?
That's still going, isn't it?
That's still going. It's like Michael H.
We need to talk.
All right, Elliot, tell us about Lydia Ko.
Just a fantastic achievement. Yeah. Look, there's no denying that. She has already been at the top of world women's golf. She's been the world number one before, not at the moment, but to win the major is a breakthrough moment for her and her career. I think she's going to win plenty of them. Carries herself superbly,
yes.
Doesn't let it go to her head, and to storm back in the way she did, I think, what, two shots off pacing in the final round, go with an 8-under-63, which is one of the best rounds ever in a final round men's or women's golf, and the youngest men's or women's golf major winner since 1868.
Bloody hell!
1868, young Tom Morris, I think it was.
A young Tom Morris is the same guy today, Hayden, that dropped the hole in one in 1868.
There we go.
We've got audio of this, Hayden.
Get in the hole?
old Tom Morris actually also won the British Open. There's a fact for you. So young,
oh,
yeah, and young Tom Morris died age 24. Old
don't
Tom Morris
tell
died.
Tell me we don't spend the big budget, Graham.
Oh, no.
This is like talking about William the Pitt the Younger and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, mate. Yeah. Okay, put her win in perspective, Graham. Where do you put it in terms of the whole of New Zealand sport?
Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, the thing that we don't really talk about is that until Lydia Ko came along, women's golf didn't get a lot of coverage in New Zealand. Now, rightly or wrongly, that's the case. But we're kind of all experts now, aren't we?
Well, it's the same, I suppose. We're all armchair admirals when it comes to the America's Cup, Elliot. It's just, yeah, we're bandwagon jumpers. It's all right. I mean, look, you know, I mean, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Oh. The bandwagon. Let's go.
How many of us are women? Shot put fans, women's kayaking fans,
good point.
Rowing fans,
good point.
And I guess to an extent, swimming fans, etc. Until
good point.
The team started having some success. I think that comes with it. When you see a Kiwi, to use a cliche, on the world stage performing extremely well, then you're going to be drawn to that sport immediately. And the fact of the matter is there is a lot of quality golfers in women's golf. The Golf Channel in the States draws huge audiences for men's and women's golf. They do a lot of coverage around that. And I think, it certainly has, you know, you have to follow women's golf to know, you know, who the big players are. But even if you don't, you know that Lydia Ko is one of the top players in the world.
We'll finish on.
Growing, you're right.
Sorry.
Okay, we need to talk.
Yeah, Graham, wake up. We're talking women's sport.
Well, you and I, Martin, are the age where women's squash opens used to get covered. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Susan Devoy, I mean, was, you know, unbeatable for 8 years almost. Yep. So
yeah, and it got massive coverage every time there was a every time the British Open squash was on.
Well, yeah, that's because once again we had a world champion.
We need to talk.
Speaking of world champions, give me the pick. Is it the Fed Express or are you going Novak?
It's a case of head says, heart says, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I have to say, heart says Fed, but head says Djokovic is going to be too good. I would love for Federer to win one more, perhaps this one, perhaps it's his last one, he wins it. But even still, look,
there's no romance in sport.
Well, there is.
Flavia, what is about heartbreaking?
Flavia Panisa.
Good point.
If Federer wins one more, I think that's a perfect way for him to go out. I don't know if he will or not, but look, he's tried for the last 3 years to get that one after Wimbledon in 2012. He is one of the best players to ever play the sport. His record against Nadal isn't great. His record against Djokovic isn't great, but he has still got the record behind him of 17 Grand
Slams. Go into that studio where that guy is there and tell him, because that's Federer's Achilles heel, that he couldn't beat those two guys.
And that's why he can't be, I don't think, be considered the greatest player. He considered one of the greats, but not the greatest, because he had losing records against...
Thank you, Elliot. Yeah. Thank you for some common sense,
my pleasure, Martin.
Good on you. Graham, you agree with that.
So two fans who like another tennis player.
I like Federer more than Djokovic, but it's just the fact.
It comes down to numbers.
Get off your personal bias, Hayden. Get off your personal bias.
Who holds the most singles titles in tennis?
I'll tell you what it comes down to. Rod Laver, who's got two Grand Slams.
Women's tennis.
I'm not talking women's tennis.
Who holds the most?
You don't even like women's sport.
Who holds the most?
Graham.
Who holds the most titles?
Graham, answer the question.
I'm not sure what to agree with or not to agree.
Steffi Graf does.
I just think it's a shame that Guy Havel isn't in the song.
He'll be at home watching it.
Don't you worry about that. Gentlemen, thank you so very much.
We need to talk.